Hello, boys and girls, and to all story lovers who have come to share in this story time with us. I am your friend, Marilyn, an AMC grandma, and I love to tell stories, especially my favorite ones. The time of the four Sundays before Christmas is called the season of Advent. It is the great time of waiting for the birth of Jesus. It is also the time of getting ready. You are all both waiting and getting ready. And what a wonderful time that is in each of our households. The church gets ready by hearing what was told long ago about the coming of the Christ child and thinking about all of the things that we hope for more love between all people, for hope for everyone, for joy and for peace. We are filled with great longing for all those things, and we wait. Waiting is hard sometimes, right? But we believe that God is going to do this amazing thing, and that all that the prophets spoke long ago would come to pass. This year, our time of waiting will be like a journey we take to being ready to receive God's great gift to us. For the next 6 weeks, through Christmas and Epiphany, the big name for the Sunday of the Wise Men and the Star, we are going on the journey of the three kings. Our story is called Amal and the Night Visitors. This story tells of the night of the three kings following the star to Bethlehem, who stop for shelter at the home of Amal and his mother. Did you ever think about that journey? And what might have happened on the way? Amal and his mother are poor. Once shepherds, Amal's father has died, and now there is almost no food in the house. What happens in this story is our journey of the next 6 weeks. This is not a true story, but it tells of the true spirit of Christmas and miracles, which makes it one of the great stories of the Christmas season. So, are you ready? Let's begin. Music from a shepherd's pipe filled the cold winter air. Wrapped in a heavy cloak, a boy sat in the evening shadow, piping steadily. As he played, stars appeared in the darkening sky. A boy could see that one star burned more brightly than the others, and he could not take his eyes from it. He did not hear his mother call to him from the small house nearby. A moment later, she called again. Amal, time to go to bed. Amal put down his shepherd's pipe. Coming, he answered. But he did not move. Instead, he raised his pipe and began to play again. A woman leaned out of one of the windows of the cottage. How long must I shout before you obey? Amal stopped piping. I'm sorry, mother. Hurry in. It's time to go to bed, his mother sounded impatient. Mother, let me stay a little longer, Amal said. The wind is cold, his mother objected. But my cloak is warm, Amal answered. The night is dark, said his mother. But the sky is light, Amal argued. The time is late, Amal's mother insisted. But the moon hasn't risen yet. Let me stay a little longer. Amal was almost begging. His mother clapped her hands together sharply. There won't be a moon tonight, but there will be a weeping child very soon if he doesn't hurry up and obey his mother. She shut the window with a bang. Oh, very well. Amal picked up the crutch lying beside him on the ground. Leaning on it heavily, he limped into the house. He hung his cloak and hat on pegs and placed his pipe carefully on the mantel. Amal returned to the open doorway to watch the blazing star once more. "What was keeping you outside?" his mother asked from near the fireplace, where she was trying to coax a flame from some twigs. Amal turned toward his mother. "Oh, mother, you should go out and see. There's never been such a sky." Amal limped across the room, talking excitedly. "Hanging over our roof, there is a star as large as a window. The star has a tail, and it moves across the sky like a chariot on fire." Amal's mother sighed. "Oh, Amal," she said wearily, "when will you stop telling lies? All day long you wander about in a dream." She glanced about the bare room. "Here we are, with nothing to eat, not a stick of wood on the fire, and not a drop of oil in the jug, and all you do is worry your mother with fairy tales." She looked very serious as she said, "Oh, Amal, have you forgotten your promise never, never to lie to your mother again?"
"Mother, I'm not lying," said Amal. "Please, believe me." He took hold of her skirt. "Come outside and let me show you. See for yourself."
Amal's mother freed her skirt from his grasp.
"Stop bothering me. Why should I believe you?" Her voice was rough. "You come at me with a new one every day. First, it was a leopard with a woman's head. Then it was a tree branch that shrieked and bled. And then it was a fish as big as a boat, with whiskers like a cat and wings like a bat and horns like a goat. And now it is a star as large as a window. Or was it a carriage? And if that wasn't enough, the star has a tail, and the tail is made of fire."
"But there is a star," Amal persisted. "And it has a tail this long." He held out his arms as wide as he could. When he saw his mother frowning, he brought his arms closer together.
"Well, only this long, but it's there."
"Amal," his mother's voice was reproving.
"Cross my heart and hope to die," Amal said,
putting her arms around her son. Amal's mother said, "Poor Amal, hunger has gone to your head." She went on, more to herself than to Amal.
"Dear God, what is a poor widow to do when her cupboards and pockets are empty and everything is sold?" She sank onto a small stool. "Unless we go begging, how shall we live through tomorrow?" Amal's mother wept. "My little son, a beggar," she said.
"Don't cry, mother dear. Don't worry for me," Amal knelt by her side.
"If we must go begging, a good beggar I'll be. I'll play sweet tunes to set people dancing. We'll walk and walk from village to town, you dressed as a gypsy and I as a clown."
Amal glanced at his shepherd's pipe in its place on the mantel.
"I'll play my pipe. You'll sing and you'll shout. The windows will open and people will lean out. The king will ride by and hear your loud voice and throw us some gold to stop all the noise."
Amal and his mother tried to smile. They each knew he was trying to cheer them with the thought of the king throwing gold to quiet them. Amal continued with longing in his voice, for there had been no supper. "At noon we shall eat roast goose and sweet almonds. At night we shall sleep with the sheep and the stars."
Amal's mother took him in her arms. "My dreamer, good night."
Amal kissed his mother and lay down on the straw mat, his crutch nearby. Covering Amal with his cloak, his mother lay down on the bench near the fireplace and was soon asleep. Awake in the dark room, Amal heard singing in the distance.
How far, my crystal star.
Mole raised himself onto one elbow. The singing was closer.
The shepherd dreams inside the fold, cold are the sands by the silent sea. Frozen the incense in our frozen hands, heavy the gold.
A moth threw back his cloak, found his crutch, and hobbled to the window. At first, he saw nothing, although the singing continued.
From far away we come, and farther we must go. How far, my crystal star.
At the window, Amal watched as a magnificent caravan approached his house. Three stately camels carrying three richly dressed men moved past Amal at his window, and then came to a stop.